song is very appropriate, actually, for what we're getting into this weekend. Our speaker this weekend is Ron Paget. Ron is with Navigators Canada. He works with young people and older people, counseling, mentoring, coaching, journey meeting. I'm thinking all these key words there that he's taught us. It's like a test for me. He's a teacher. Anyways, Ron's had a lot of experience. He's from Kapuskasing. I'm not Kapuskasing, he's from Timmins. When I said Kapuskasing, nobody said a word. And part of his family still lives in Timmins. And lots of life experience, that's for sure. And he's been working with us at Open End Youth Center and Bible Fellowship, trying to help us to hone our skills and just learn the directions that we got to go when it comes to coaching people who need a friend, basically. Anyway, what's going to happen? He's going to be speaking today. He's going to be speaking tomorrow morning or afternoon. After each session, we're going to have a breakout sessions. So we're going to break into different groups. That's why the chairs are in squares in the hall here at a youth room. And he's also going to be finishing up for those who are going to be here on Sunday. He's going to be speaking as well. And sort of tying together everything that's been going on. So, anyways, I'm pretty excited about Ron being here. And without further ado, Ron Paget.
Where am I from? What's my name?
Ron.
Hey, here you go. Wow, winter run. My first winter run. How many winter runs have there been, by the way?
A lot.
Yeah?
Two every year.
Four? Great. Well, I'm excited to be here. I'm quite thrilled. And as you may have guessed, my name is French Paget. And I work in both official languages.
Hi, French Paget.
Hello, French Paget, yes.
Comment
hello. Good, thank you. And one of the privileges I have in working with both languages is you get to appreciate some of the subtleties in both languages. And one of them that's dawned on me recently is the word or the expression sort of. You ever notice how the word or the expression sort of gets tagged here and there and everywhere? It's kind of a filler.
Sort of.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah. It doesn't really mean much, does it?
Sort of.
Sort of. Except when you put it at the end of a sentence like, I love you. Or if the doctor announces that, congratulations, you'll live. Or congratulations, it's a boy.
Yeah, Lady Gaga!
Yeah. So this is one of the privileges of being bilingual, the subtleties of various languages. But tonight what I'd like to do is tell you a little bit about me, not because I like talking about me, but there's something about my story that I think sets the foundation for the theme that we'll be looking at this weekend. And so, as you heard, I'm from Timmins.
Woo! Cap Timmins.
Cap Timmins.
Cap Timmins.
And let's see if this works. So far, so good. Not.
Sort of. Sort of.
Okay. Anybody? Technically.
I'll just click the arrow.
I'll do that. From a family of five boys. Okay, a special serving, extra serving of dessert for the one that can pick me out.
Okay. The youngest one.
The baby.
The baby.
The baby.
The one all the way to the left.
Sort of.
Sort of.
One all the way to the left down.
All the way to the left down. There's a laser on here. Right there?
Yes.
Very good. Extra serving of dessert tomorrow. That's right. This interesting adventure, living with five boys and a family, if you've ever had that experience, it's quite an experience. I'd like to share with you two particular events that were quite life-forming for me, life-shaping. And one of them was, after this picture was taken, my dad went down to Toronto for open heart surgery at the time. And this picture was taken in honor of that in case something happened, and indeed something did happen. He went down for that operation and never returned. So he passed away on the operating table. And I'll never forget that moment. Interesting that the Timmins Daily Press had a little bit of a write-up on him. He was a policeman at the time. And the one memory that stuck in my mind that was quite life-changing for me was sitting on the front step of our house and seeing all these people kind of filing in and out of the house. And I knew something important was going on, but I hadn't a clue what it was. But there was also the sense that, you know, I had the sense that I was this pot of flowers. I could have been a pot of flowers, and it wouldn't have made a difference. It's like something was going on, something big was going on, and I was totally forgotten in the whole scheme of things. And it was a weird experience. You know, looking back now with adult eyes, I now know what was going on. You know, it was the funeral, it was the wake, and people were visiting my mom, and she was grieving, and it was, you know, quite a painful time. But this was October 31st, 1963. And then 3 weeks later, do we have any history buffs here? What happened November 22nd, 1963? No history buffs?
JFK got killed?
JFK got assassinated, yeah. But something more important than that happened.
C.S. Lewis died,
indeed. Yeah, so do I. Not too many people know that fact, by the way, but yeah, C.S. Lewis died on that day, but still, something even more important than that happened. It was my birthday! Come on, folks, wake up! Where is the... I thought you guys were in school. Man, where did they teach you? It was my birthday, and my brother had had his birthday just 2 months previous, and I was thinking, great, it's my special day. Come to have my special day, and it's doom and gloom all over again. You know, Kennedy was, even up here in Canada, was a big name. And I remember thinking, what, nobody notices me? Nobody cares for me? It's not my big day? There's no party, no cake? What's the deal? And I remember feeling at that time, you know, as a four-year-old little boy, thinking, there's something wrong here. And I immediately concluded, there's something wrong with me. There's something wrong with what I want, because obviously what it is I want, I'm not getting. And I felt selfish. I felt almost ashamed of what it is I wanted. So that was one life-changing moment for me, was my father's death and the various circumstances that surrounded that. And two conclusions that I drew from that event was, I don't seem to be noticed. I don't seem to care or to matter to anybody. And if I'm going to be seen, if I'm going to get any sense of respect or affection, I'm going to have to earn it. And I remember looking around, trying to figure out, how do people get noticed? How do people get affection, get respect? And one day I figured, you know, my mom was trying to raise five boys on her own. I gave her a bit of a hand in the kitchen. And I remember her just kind of doing this, you know, kind of passing her hand in my hair at the time and thinking, wow, she noticed. Oh, boy, that felt good. What else can I do? And the mind starts working. If I'm a good kid, if I do good things, people seem to notice. I'm not that pot of flowers on the doorstep after all. Yeah? Whoa, this is good. So, went to school, like most of us. And I'm going to show you a couple of pictures. And before you start laughing, remember, someday you're going to have pictures that people 20 or 30 years younger are going to look at and start to laugh at too.
Sort of.
There I am in high school and started to get involved with all kinds of activities, particularly sports, cross country, basketball, team captain, class president, class clown. And I was, you know, life was humming. I thought, hey, this is working for me. You know, jock, popular with the girls, guys, had friends. And one day, I'm in the hallway going to class, and I walk by my running coach, which is not unusual in high school, of course. You know, you run by various teachers, huh? But this day, walking by my running coach, and he mentions four words that were like a bomb for me as we're passing by. He just goes, Ron, are you happy? And we just keep walking. You know, it's like, why did he ask me that question? It bugged me. And I didn't have words for why that question bugged me, but it bugged me. And all day long, here I am, almost 30-something years later, I'm still thinking about that question. It's like, it's like I wasn't expecting it. Are you happy? And now with, adult eyes that I have, I look back and I could identify three things that I felt when I heard that question. The first thing was the sense of feeling naked. Because for me, life was like a stage. I was working hard to try to get it together, to look good, to be a guy that could somehow draw some kind of attention and affirmation that, hey, I exist. I matter. I'm not just a pot of flowers on the doorstep after all. But somehow, that question was like him peeking in behind the curtain and getting a view of who was behind the curtain without my costume and my makeup and my mask, my performance. I was naked. And the second thing I felt failure. Not because I wasn't unhappy, but more because I didn't manage to fool him. I thought I was doing a pretty good job hiding the fact that I wasn't all that happy inside, And his question pointed out to me that somebody picked up on the fact that I wasn't. I failed. He saw it. Otherwise, why would he even ask that question? He's not the kind of guy to go around asking everybody, hey, are you happy? Hey, are you happy? Just all day long. No, it was just, he saw it. I'm not working. This thing isn't working as much as I thought it was working for me. And the third thing I felt is the big one. I felt shame. Feeling naked, feeling like a failure, I felt shame. You familiar with that feeling? Ever give thought to that concept or that, the experience of shame? What it's like? What do you feel like doing when you feel ashamed? Yeah, you just want to isolate yourself, and try to make yourself as small as possible. Yeah. Because deep down, I realize in myself and in the various people that I've been working with and journeying with over the last 30, 40 years, that's an experience that is universal. That deep down, there's something inside us that has a sense of feeling like there's something wrong about us. We feel a certain shame about ourselves. It's that experience that you feel in class, for instance, when you want to ask a question and you feel, boy, if I ask this question, am I going to look like an idiot? People are going to look like, what are you asking that question for? Or if the teacher asks a question and you want to answer it, do you raise your hand and answer it? What if it's the wrong answer? What are people going to think? That's shame. You want to kind of play it safe, save face, not rock the boat, not stand out too much. Or if you do stand out, you stand out in a way that doesn't reveal very much about who you are, because if people don't like what you put out there, you can always change it. You can always put on a different shirt, the next day. And deep down, there's a sense that, if I really let you in, and if you really saw who I was, would you want to stay there? Would you want to know me? And there are three things I think we're terrified of when we get in touch with that fear. One is, would you be bored if you really saw who I was? Or two, would you be disgusted? And say, man, that's you. I want nothing to do with you, bud. I'm out of here. Or third, indifference. Like you don't even exist. Shame. That's one of the themes that I'd like for us to give some thought to this weekend. Because it's such a ruling power in so many of our lives. We give so much power to that thing called shame that we deprive ourselves of being free, of being alive, of being who we really are, one with another. And in the process, there's a loneliness there. The class clown was, really funny. But inside, there's a sense of nobody knows me.
And would people really care if they really did know who I was? And one of the reasons why I'd like to give some thought to this idea with you tonight is because of that. We give so much power to it that I'd like for us to open that closet door and look into the skeleton that we're running away from, or the boogeyman that we're running away from. Let's look at it and take back the power that we give shame to rule our lives. The power we give it when we put on masks and pretend that we're happy when we're not, or pretend that we're somebody that we're not. It's a heavy weight, you know, carrying shame or living by shame. And one of the things you'll find out as we explore this together, especially on Sunday morning, if you can be here on Sunday morning, you're going to find out that shame can be a friend. Isn't that a weird concept, huh? That this prison guard that locks us in and keeps us hidden and retreated and isolated can actually be turned into a friend. And we'll find out how. So that's what we're going to do tonight. And I didn't check with you before we started here. Wally, the handouts, do you have those handouts? Okay. We'll get some copies. And here are the questions that we're going to give some thought to as we get copies of this. Can you read that? Yeah, good. I'm going to ask you, we're going to get these copies to you, and you can start thinking about these answers to these questions even now before you get this handout. The first question is, how would you define shame in your own words? Whatever comes to mind. We're not looking for the right answer, we're looking for your answer. Okay? So how would you define shame? And then two, what three words come to mind that best describe the experience of shame for you? For you. Okay? And then there's a little bit of space on the sheet that you'll be getting. If for those that are artistic and like drawing, if there's an image that comes to mind that for you represents and describes or captures the idea or the experience of shame, try to draw it out. Again, we're not looking for Michelangelo's here, but just what comes to mind, try to put that on, you know, if you're so inclined, and if you're not, you know, don't sweat it. And then the fourth question is, you know, the difference between shame and guilt is best understood as the difference between I am bad versus I did something bad. Shame causes us to focus on ourselves, whereas guilt draws our attention to the harm we did to someone we care about, and can sometimes cause us to move towards that person, to take ownership of our wrongdoing, to restore the person and the relationship. But shame is just the opposite, and we pull away from the person, and we hide. And so the two or three questions that I have for you here is, A, how does this idea of shame fit in with how you were raised? Your experience at home, with your friends, and school. And then C, how does this idea of shame impact the way you talk to yourself? We all talk to ourselves, you know, tell ourselves things, and you know, we're looking at certain people, and we have comments about them that we tell ourselves, comments about ourselves. How does the idea of shame impact the way you talk to yourself? Okay? So start thinking about that even now. You don't have the handouts in hand, I know, right now. You'll be getting them soon. And in the 5 minutes that you'll have just on your own right now, as you give thought to this, this will prepare you for the discussion groups and the breakout groups that we'll be having. Okay? Questions? Reactions? Comments? Okay, so let's take 5 minutes, start thinking about this, and then when Wally hands out the papers, we'll divide up into our breakout groups.